Football Legends Live. Brian Urlacher, Lawrence Taylor, Mean Joe Green, Randy White, Dan Hampton, Anthony Munoz, and dozens more. Gridiron gods of the past 50 years who defined the game. Pro Football Weekly presents Football Legends Live. September 8th, the Rouse Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake. Get your tickets now at ProFootballWeekly.com. Presented by Rum Chata and Centegra Health System. Don't miss out on Football Legends Live. One night only. September 8th. Get info now at ProFootballWeekly.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. My name is Dan Mott, and back with us this week is executive editor for Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkish, and Pro Football Weekly senior Bears beat writer, Bob Laguerre. Hub, how you doing?
Doing good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Bob, how about you? How's your week treating you?
Looking forward to a game. Seeing enough practices, let's play somebody in a different color uniform.
Absolutely. Well, Hub and Bob are making their way to Canton, Ohio for the Bears-Ravens Hall of Fame game, which we'll be previewing on today's show. Plus, we'll have the latest on Roquan Smith and other Bourbonnais updates, which is what I'd like to start with. Bob, where are we at with the Roquan Smith contract holdout, and will he be with this team in Canton?
Absolutely not. He certainly won't be playing. I don't know that he'll be playing in the second preseason game. This thing is going on a ridiculous amount of time already. He's the only holdout left in the NFL among rookies. Not really a holdout, unsigned is actually a more accurate term. And there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides. It's about possible suspensions and lost money for violating the new policy on tackling. It's ridiculous. Something should have been done about it by now. This is a guy who the Bears touted as a guy who was going to be an instant impact player. The longer he's out, the less chance there is that he'll be an instant impact player. At this point, he's missed practices he can't make up. He's missed time he can't make up. He's missed working with his teammates that he's not going to be able to make up. They're going to put a rush on it as soon as he gets in, but he's still behind. He's significantly behind the other rookies, and I really don't think it will go on much longer, but then I didn't think it would go on this long to begin with. So, I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, guys, I've written about this a few times in the last week or two, and I feel pretty strongly, like Bob just said, I don't think either side is right. I think it's a bad look for both the Bears and for Roquan Smith and his camp. And listen, let me be as clear as I can. I think every penny of every NFL player's contract should be guaranteed, just like it is in baseball and basketball and hockey. That's not the way this works. You know, we didn't make up the rules. We're just trying to report on them. And so when I hear, folks in our business choosing sides now, oh, it's the Bears' fault or oh, it's Smith's fault, nobody knows. I don't know anybody who claims that they've actually seen the offers and counteroffers, who understands the language that is being debated. We have a general sense of what the topic of the problem is, but we don't know what the problem is. So, I would just say it's a bad look for both sides. It's much ado about nothing. They had an extra week of training camp. As long as he gets in the next week to 10 days, the preseason is too long to begin with. So he's going to have time to be ready for opening day. If this does stretch out past the Bengals exhibition game, then I think you do start to worry a little bit about the lost time. But right now it's a distraction. And, maybe from the Bears' point of view, in some respects, it's a good distraction because there are other bigger issues that need to be discussed, and nobody's talking about them right now. Everybody's talking about where's Roquan Smith.
Bob, Vic Fangio got a little salty this week when asked about Smith, which I think shows it might not be sitting that well with the team. I mean, which it's pretty obvious at this point. I know you had mentioned a little bit of this in your in talking about Smith, but I mean, is his absence really hurting the team building they're trying to establish with these groups?
Well, for openers, Vic Fangio was born salty. That's just his normal demeanor. That doesn't mean he's not a great guy, because he is. He's one of the more honest guys that's been around, and especially in the last few years, one of the few guys who will tell it like it is. I think he's a little frustrated that he doesn't have a piece. that he was counting on to, you know, they're all about improving this defense from a top 10 to a top 5, and he was one of the guys that we're counting on as an impact player and a difference maker. He's not there. He's not around to be that guy. You know, Vic will give you the standard line. I'm going to coach the guys who are there, and then he's done that. You know, the other part of the equation is that Danny Trevathan has been gone for almost the entire camp. He was back at practice for 2 days this week, but did next to nothing, will not play, obviously, in this game tomorrow, and maybe not the second preseason game either. The difference is Danny Trevathan knows the defense. He doesn't have to play in any preseason games. But he mentioned that Roquan Smith is missing things now. He's missing knowing what the guy that lines up next to him is going to do, which is Danny Trevathan, in their ideal plan. You know, I think they absolutely assume that Roquan Smith would be a day one starter next to Danny Trevathan at inside linebacker. You know, that's a question mark at this point. And, you know, I don't think Vic's going to lose any sleep over it, but I think he's like the rest of us. He sees that this is kind of a ridiculous situation that it should have been taken care of already. You know, when he gets here, you know, everybody's talked about that he's a great, he's got great instincts, he's a smart kid, he's a good kid, he's a hard worker, and all that's great, but like I said, he's still significantly behind everybody else, and it's going to take him a long time to catch up.
Hub, let's talk about some of the other news out of camp. What stood out to you in week two down in Bourbonnais?
Well, you know, I mean, there are some guys who clearly are starting to emerge a little bit. I think that Prince Amukamara, in what I believe is his ninth year in the NFL, is having his best training camp ever. I mean, he has been the best player in camp pretty much from day one. I think some would argue that Kyle Fuller, the other cornerback, is a, if not close, a competitive second. I think it's been interesting to watch Nick Kwiatkowski, the number three inside linebacker, but the only guy who's either healthy or present, who, you know, has taken pretty much every first team rep and actually doesn't look bad. I mean, he's going to be number three when Trevathan is healthy and when Smith is signed, but Kwiatkowski's had a nice camp for himself. You can't really tell anything about pass rush in training camp drills. You got to get into games to know that. And so certainly the biggest question about the Bears pass rush, about the Bears defense, is the pass rush, and that's a question that we're going to have to wait for answers on. Other than that, on the defensive side of the ball, I think you feel good about the secondary. You're excited to see what Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman can do as a duo if they're both healthy throughout the season. And so defensively, they've been ahead of the offense so far in camp. On the other side of the ball, one of the things that's jumped out at me is that Mitch Trubisky has been very average. He hasn't had a bad camp. He hasn't had a great camp. You know, both head coach Matt Nagy and offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich have gone out of their way to point out they're not worried about interceptions at this point. He is definitely throwing more of them than you would like, but I take him at their word. I don't think it's a problem. I'm not concerned yet about Trubisky's future. I'm still impressed with what I saw in his 12 starts last year, but objective analysis is he had a very average camp. There are questions at offensive guard. You've constantly got it is Eric Kush, it is James Daniels, it's Earl Watford rotating in and out of one guard spot and then filling in time for Kyle Long when Long's not ready. Long looks pretty good. I mean, what they're allowing him to do, he's on a schedule, so I'm starting to feel fairly confident that Kyle Long is going to be back this year from the three surgeries he had during the offseason. Beyond that, the receivers look pretty good. Trey Burton wasn't getting a lot of action last couple of practices. They focused on getting him the ball a little bit more. I'm curious to hear what Bob has to say about this one, because I don't know if he agrees with me or not. I was talking to one of our fellow ink-stained wretches who was complaining about Kevin White, and I said, you know, I think Kevin White's had a decent camp so far. I mean, you know, we've still got a lot to learn about him, but what I've seen so far from him in training camp, I think that Kevin White, and he's healthy now, is starting to show some signs of maybe being a piece of this puzzle. I don't know he's ever going to be a number one receiver, but with the things that Allen Robinson can do, Taylor Gabriel's having an excellent camp, White brings his own dimension, and, you know, Bob, I think he may be able to contribute this year if he stays on the football field.
Yeah, I've got nothing negative to say about Kevin White. He has dropped some balls. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's not going to make circus catches down the field with one hand with two guys on him and throw his body into weird contortions and still come up with a ball. That's not Kevin White. It's never going to be Kevin White. But there are routes that he can run that make him dangerous in this offense. If they can get the ball to him in space with the ability to run, he's got, I think, very good run after the catch ability. He's a big, strong, physical guy with still very good speed. I don't know if he's still a 4.35 guy, but I think he's going to be faster than most of the guys that are trying to cover him. So to me, he's had, it's a very good camp, if you ask me, because he's healthy and he looks good. Matt Nagy has mentioned on more than one occasion that he loves his attitude, that if he does have a drop or does do something wrong, it's like on to the next play and let's forget about it. Let's not dwell on it. Let's not take one bad play and turn it into two bad plays because you're dwelling on it. I think he's done a good job of that. I think Anthony Miller, and again, no knock on Kevin White, but Anthony Miller, I think, looks tremendous. To me, he's their second-best wide receiver behind Allen Robinson. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time early on. Maybe people didn't believe that when he was picked in the second round. There was some talk about him being a little bit raw as a route runner because he ran a limited tree at Memphis. I haven't seen any indication of that. He put a double move on Kyle Fuller in the first week of camp that left Fuller wondering what had happened. He's beaten Prince Amukamara, and that rarely has happened in camp, because I agree with you there, Hub. Prince has had a better camp than anybody that I've seen. If he's not intercepting the ball, which he's done, I think, four times now, every time you watch him, he's breaking up a pass. He's jumping routes, and it's not because he knows the offense, because even the offense doesn't know the offense at this point, so it's not like he's got an unfair advantage. He's just playing better than I've ever seen him play at any time with the Bears.
Hub, you had an article on this over the weekend, but essentially, who has been the most overlooked at camp so far?
Oh, that's a great question. The most overlooked at camp, in some respects, it's been Kwiatkowski, who's playing well. Eddie Jackson has become so stable in the secondary as just a second-year player that you just assume you're going to be fine there. I think what a subject that is being overlooked at training camp is that the Bears elected not to re-sign Mitch Unrein, feeling that they were good enough at the other five technique across from Akiem Hicks, the plan being for Jonathan Bullard, a third-year player taken in the third round in Ryan Pace's second draft, and then one of Pace's unheralded, undrafted rookie free agents, Roy Robertson Harris, that between the two of them, they would compete for that spot that Unrein has vacated and provide enough production. That competition is ongoing. I think both players, Bullard and Robertson Harris, have had their moments, and yet nobody seems to be paying much attention. I think the other thing that is being overlooked a little bit is that with the excitement of the signing of Trey Burton and the controversy around the drafting of Adam Shaheen as highly as they did last year, 45 in the second round, Deion Sims, some people thought was going to be released. He's not only going to make this team, he's still the number one tight end. These other guys are situational guys, Shaheen and Burton, but neither one of them can be trusted in straight running situations to be a good enough blocker, at least yet. And so Deion Sims hasn't had a bad camp for himself.
Bob, I want to shift gears now and start focusing a little bit more on this Hall of Fame game that's happening this week. What's been the buzz around this team leading up to this game? I mean, these guys have been itching to unleash and play harder, I'm sure, against the Ravens.
Yeah, they have, but unfortunately, none of the starters, or very few of the starters, are going to do that for more than probably a handful of plays. You'll see a cameo appearance by most of the starters. I'd be surprised that if Mitch Trubisky throws the ball, he might come in and hand the ball off three times, which the Bears did with Jay Cutler a few years back. You're going to see a lot of guys who won't be on the roster once the final cutdown is made, but you are going to see guys who are competing for backup roles. To me, one of the more interesting ones is tight end. We've mentioned, Hub and I both, that they're loaded at that position. They're in pretty good shape. But Colin Thompson's a first-year guy who has shown up at several practices. Another guy, wide receiver, is Tanner Gentry. And the knock would be that, well, he's doing it against second and third team guys, but he's also playing with second and third team guys. And Tanner Gentry's gotten deep several times during camp, not necessarily a guy known for his speed, but I think he's sneaky quick. So I think he's a guy you might want to watch in this game. Another guy is Ryan Nall, running back from Oregon State, buried on the depth chart, fifth out of five. But I think, you know, especially in this game, you're going to see him get a lot of carries, and he's going to have an opportunity to show what he can do. Nagy mentioned him after practice, is a guy who can catch the ball, he can block, he can run. He had 3 75-yard runs at Oregon State, showed that he could catch the ball there, and he's a big guy. He brings something that not a lot of other guys on the roster are going to give the Bears, so I think he's going to get a ton of opportunities in this game to show what he can do.
Hub, we know that Matt Nagy won't be putting much of his playbook on display in this game, but what are some of the other competitions we might see with these receivers?
Well, when you say some of the other competitions we might see, I don't know that there is going to be a ton of competition at the position. I think it's pretty clear that, as I just said, Deion Sims is going to be on this football team, and obviously Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen will. I don't see the Bears carrying a fourth tight end. I suppose you always wonder if Ben Broniker or Daniel Brown could make themselves uncuttable. If they're going to, it's going to have to happen in these early preseason games where they're going to get the bulk of the playing time and the targets, but I wouldn't count on that. And as far as the receivers, I think that's pretty well established as well. You know, four guys who are going to make this team are Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, and Kevin White. You know, the first two, you're expensive free agents. Then you've got, you know, in the case of Kevin White, he's owed $6, $7 million, plus you still haven't really seen what it is he can do. And obviously you didn't trade up in the second round to take Anthony Miller and not keep him. That's four. Most teams carry five or six. I have to believe that Josh Bellamy, who should never be allowed to line up at receiver, is going to make the football team because he's one of the Bears' best special teams players. I think that Benny Fowler has had a decent camp for himself. I just don't think Tanner Gentry's got the tangibles in order to make an NFL roster. But Benny Fowler is a guy they brought over for Denver who's had his moments and, you know, who I think that they like a lot. So I just don't know that there's any room for a Javon Wims or one of these lesser-known wide receivers to claim a roster spot. You'll see Wims and maybe another one on the practice squad, but I think it's pretty clear who the Bears' first five receivers are going to be.
Bob, we've seen down in Bourbonnais quite a bit of creativity when it comes to the running backs and some of the things that they've been doing down there. Do you think that Nagy and Helfrich will be as creative with the way they play the running backs against the Ravens in this week's game?
Absolutely not. They're evaluating guys from the bottom of the roster. They're not going to give anything away. I think they're going to keep it basic. I mean, you may see a little. You may see they, one thing they've done is lined up three tight ends on one side in a bunch formation. You may see some of that, but I don't think they're giving anything away in this game. And you know, they paid the game lip service. They said it's an extra opportunity for us to evaluate guys, and that's great. And we get an extra week of practice, and that's fine. But I think there are just as many negatives as there are positives to this. It's more opportunities to get guys hurt. Players are definitely not in favor of it, although maybe the guys who are scrambling for a roster spot or a spot on the practice squad can benefit from it. But I don't think you're going to see Matt Nagy open up a playbook now or probably at any time in the preseason.
And Hub, as Bob has said, I mean, they're going to be hiding much of their playbook, and we have to figure the Ravens will be as well. How would you say this offense matches up with this Ravens defense?
Well, under normal circumstances, it would be a fascinating test because one thing the Ravens do extremely well is rush the passer. And while there is a lot of focus on who the starting guard opposite of Kyle Long is going to be, I have been pretty consistent in saying I just don't trust Charles Leno at left tackle in any phases of the game. He's not the worst. He's just not the best and maybe not good enough, and he's going to be protecting the blind side of Mitch Trubisky, but we're not going to see any of that. So, you know, this is more about, to be honest with you, the bottom 30 or 40 guys on the roster of both teams, the Bears and the Ravens, pretty much playing street ball. You know, draw the plays up in the dirt and use the bottle caps to mark the spot, and then go out and try and make a play. So, one thing that all 32 teams are pretty consistent with, they game plan once during the preseason. That's an exhibition game number 3 for the Bears this year. It'll be game 4 because they're playing an extra game. But short of that, I just don't know that the matchup stuff is all that significant because, you know, much like the Bears starters and veterans, the Ravens starters and veterans aren't going to be out there either.
Bob, on the defensive side of the ball, does this defense face a tough task against Ravens rookie QB Lamar Jackson? I mean, this is really going to be the first look that a lot of us have for Lamar Jackson.
Well, I think the one guy on this defense who's going to play a lot, who has a chance of possibly catching Lamar Jackson, is Josh Woods. He's a guy that nobody knows about. He's a safety from Maryland who's being played at linebacker. He's 204 pounds, which, if you look at that in roster, it looks like it's a misprint. You know, the zero should be a 3 or a 4 or a 5. But he is kind of in the mold of some of these new hybrid-type linebackers who play in sub-packages and bring exceptional coverage ability for a linebacker. He's a guy who, and again, he's playing against most guys he's playing against are not going to be on the final 53, but he's the guy who shows up at every practice because he's all over the field. He's sideline to sideline. He makes plays. He's not doing it against the ones, but he is a guy who might see flash in this game because he's got tremendous speed for a linebacker, and he does have range, and he is a very good guy in pass coverage for a linebacker. He didn't play a lot at Maryland. I think he actually started 9 games last year, and that was the most playing time he got. But he's a guy who the Bears at least thought is worth giving a look at as that special kind of new breed linebacker who could be almost a 6th defensive back in situations. So he's a guy I'm interested to see in a game. He, like I said, he's looked good in practice. Let's see how he does when the lights come on and see if he can take it up a notch and make the same kind of plays he's been making in Bourbonnais for 2 weeks.
Hub, you've been giving a lot of praise, and rightfully so, to Nick Kwiatkowski. As you said, he's had a great start to the camp. Will the Bears play Kwiatkowski more in this game? Perhaps, if nothing else, to help him get a little more tape for his future, maybe a little more pressure on Roquan Smith?
Well, he would normally get a fair amount of playing time in this game, being the leader of the second defense. I think the fact that he is your number one inside linebacker at the moment, and you don't know when Danny Trevathan will be ready or when Roquan Smith will be available, you may need to protect him a little bit, you know. So I'm sure he'll play. He has to. I mean, they just don't have that many inside linebackers in camp. But if anything, based on, you know, a comparison of what would be a normal situation where you had also Trevathan and Roquan Smith available, in which case Kwiatkowski would see a lot of playing time Thursday night, he'll probably see a little bit less just to try and protect him until they've got all bodies and hopefully all healthy bodies ready to go.
Bob, what other challenges might this Ravens offense bring to the Bears defense?
Well, the Bears aren't going to be looking so much at scheme as they are at personnel, and Vic Fangio said as much. He's going to be looking for guys who are going to contribute, not necessarily in the base defense, but maybe in sub-packages, maybe guys who can help Chris Tabor on special teams. They're going to be looking at that, and I would agree with Hub on Nick Kwiatkowski. Normally, he would play a decent amount in this game, but what if he gets hurt? Then you're down to your number 4 and 5 inside linebackers. You're going into a situation where John Anderson and John Timo are your starters, both guys who have played 3 years in the Bears system and have started games, but are not the guys you want in the opening day lineup, in a starting lineup, September 8th in Green Bay. So, yeah, I think because of injuries, they're going to have to take it easy with some of these guys. Leonard Floyd and Kylie Fitz, the rookie who might be the second-best pass rusher on the roster, has missed some practice time. Leonard Floyd, they're taking it slow with him, so yeah, I think they have to protect themselves because of the fact that some of their starters are a little iffy at this point. They're not so, you know, necessarily injured, but they're guys who they can't afford to take a chance with. And, you know, the top backups are guys who they have to protect as well at this juncture.
Bob, are there any other things that we should be watching with this Bears defense versus the Ravens?
Well, I think it all starts up front. The Bears know they have two studs in Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman up front. They're looking for that third guy. The job for now is Jonathan Bullard's to lose, but Ward Robertson Harris is going to have a chance to win that job. Bilal Nichols is a fifth-round draft pick who I don't think is going to be a starter, but has time to at least get in a rotation and get some snaps as a rookie. But it's right now between Roy Robertson Harris and Jonathan Bullard, and neither one of them have really stepped up and grabbed the bull by the horns at training camp. So that, to me, that job's wide open, and this will be an opportunity for one of those guys to at least show that he deserves to have the, you know, maybe a hand up in that competition and at least be the starter going into the second preseason game.
Well, I know we won't see much from the playbook, we won't see much from the starters, but we know that these preseason games help these coaches begin narrowing down their rosters so that many of these players in Thursday's game will have really a lot to prove. I know fans are excited to not only have football back on TV, but Bears football nonetheless. Guys, we're looking forward to the recap of this game next week, plus more from Bourbonnais. I know that you both will be down there in Canton, so enjoy that game. That will really do it for this edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Be sure to be checking out the latest Bears news as it breaks 24/7 at ProFootballWeekly.com, and you can also follow along with the latest news from Thursday's game as it happens on the site as well. We do have an event reminder. We've been speaking about it for the last couple weeks. Saturday, September 8th at the Rouse Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Join Pro Football Weekly for Football Legends Live, presented by Rum Chata and Syntegra Health System. It will feature Pro Football Hall of Famers Brian Urlacher, Mean Joe Green, Lawrence Taylor, Anthony Munoz, Randy White, and Dan Hampton, along with MCs Pat Boyle and Dave Kaplan. Plus, the Pro Football Weekly crew will be there, like Hub and Bob, as well as other surprise guests as we celebrate Pro Football Weekly's honorary team for the ages and the greatest Bears team of the modern era. Tickets are on sale now at ProFootballWeekly.com, so be sure to get yours today. We want to thank all of you for listening this week, and we hope that you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. And a big thanks to Umphreys McGee for the use of our theme song, Glory, which you can download on iTunes if you enjoy listening to this track each week. Once again, I am Dan Mott for Hub Arkish and Bob Laguerre. We thank you. Enjoy the game this week, guys. Football is back. We will talk to you next week. Take care, everyone.